when he's on the ball, when he's on the game, I'll say when he's on the game.
When he's on his game.
Aye. When he's that's another thing altogether.
When he's on the game. Okay.
When he's, I was going to say the classic match there.
The classic.
I'm crying, crying.
Okay, Derek.
Whack L.
And the stadium erupts in red, white, and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself.
Hi everybody and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
Hola.
Hola what?
Hola.
Hola.
It means hello in Spanish. Why do you think I'm saying hola in Spanish, Derek?
Oh, let me guess.
Why do you think I'm in such a good mood also, Derek?
Because you've got your hole.
Only day. Yes, Derek, tomorrow I will be setting off on a journey for some well-deserved sunshine on the Canary Island of Tenerife, and I can't wait.
I've only got 11 weeks to go, I think.
I'll send you some pictures of the sunshine, mate.
Oh, I'm sure you will, and you can wear the sunshine, I'll be stuck then, eh?
Yes, it's. I'm quite excited, Derek. I'm in a very good mood, and let's go for a nice upbeat podcast. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say, we're probably just going to depress you with this podcast we've got here. So, yes, one game to cover, and obviously that's the last game against Kilmarnock, which wasn't the best of games for us.
No.
We've got bits and pieces of news to discuss as well. We'll be a few rants probably in amongst this as well, but we'll do our best to keep it fairly cheery, and you've got a good classic match for us as well, haven't you?
Certainly have, mate. Yes,
so we'll just batter on and we'll go down the tunnel and onto the park. Onto the park, onto the pitch. It's the same thing.
Same thing. Aye. Same thing.
So, as I said, the game we've got to cover tonight is Saturday the 16th of March. It was a 1-1 draw at home to Kilmarnock. Completely disappointing. We were expecting to really rattle them, considering we rattled them 5-0 the last game, but it wasn't to be once again, and we let ourselves down.
Yes, we did, Derek. I'm sure that you're going to get into it, but a lot of expectation, and unfortunately, it was a bit of a disappointment, wasn't it?
Yes, so we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Katic, Goldson, Halliday, Koulibaly, Davis, Kamara, Candias, Morelos and Kent. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Worrell, Barisic, McCrory, Defoe, Lafferty and Grejda. So arguably, probably the strongest team we could have put out, wasn't it?
For the players that were available, yes, it was. Derek, good seeing Katic back in there. I think a lot of people have been wanting to see him back in the team. To be fair to him, as I'm sure you'll get in, Derek, he actually done a pretty decent job, didn't he?
Yeah. The one disappointing thing, and I did highlight this on the reaction pod, is what does McCrory have to do to get a start? Certainly,
yes,
he was dropped completely. He wasn't even on the bench in the last game previous to this one, and he made the bench this time, but he never even ended up featuring throughout the game, which, I think out of all the losses we've had this year, he's never featured in one of them. And bearing in mind, we've only lost four league games and a couple of other games, obviously the two cup games and a couple in the Europa League, but I don't think he's featured in any of the games, so I don't know if that's saying something.
Derek, you don't have to tell me or you, do we? We rate the guy very, very highly. I think he's an absolutely fantastic holding midfield player, and as you've quite rightly said, all the big games that we've won, all the major matches, the games that we've played really well, he's been a rock playing in that central defensive midfield position, and it's I honestly don't know what's happened to him. I mean, Kamara's played well, Derek, but to be honest, if it was a you know, a toss up between the two of them, I think we would always go for McCrory, wouldn't we?
I don't know at this stage, to be honest. If it was a choice between the two, I don't know, because as you said, Kamara has been great, but yep. You know, McCrory is equally as good, and we all know that Gerrard rates him very highly, so we'll just need to wait and see what his future holds. I know he's got a decent deal, so hopefully we see him more often. But anyway, into this game, on the third minute, Brophy got forward for Kilmarnock, got the break of the ball off Halliday, got in the box and got a shot off, and it hits the side netting, but he promptly goes down injured with a hamstring injury, and he goes off. And to be honest, we thought at the time that was going to be brilliant, because he was a handful in the last game. So
it certainly was, yep. Yeah.
And needless to say, it never worked out that way. But on the 9th minute, Halliday had a free kick over the bar from 25 yards. On the 13th minute, there was good skill on the ball from Davis. Hits a shot on the edge of the box, forcing a great save from the keeper. 17th minute, there was a good move down the right. Katic gets to the goal line, cuts it back to Davis, who has a shot, and it was deflected, and the keeper made another good save. 23rd minute, there was a lovely sweeping move down the left-hand side, cut inside, ending a Morales having a shot on the edge of the box. Broadfoot makes a diving save, and what to me appears to have a diving handball in the
yep.
box.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
yes.
given whatsoever. Now, somebody on our YouTube page said that he hit off his back. Now, I'm not sure about that. I've never watched it back since, but to me it looked like a diving save from him.
Yep. Exactly, Derek. I was quite taken aback by that myself. As soon as it happened, I was convinced, but not to be.
It was awfully strange, because I remember at the time with that penalty decision where McGregor come charging out the box to have a right go at the referee, didn't he? And he ended up picking up a yellow card. Maybe a bit stupid from McGregor getting a yellow card for absolutely nothing like that, but, you know, it was quite obviously it was a penalty and arguably a red card for me.
There you go, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. On the 25th minute, Tavernier had a free kick from 20 yards. It went up and over the wall, but the keeper manages to gather it quite comfortably. And inevitably, on the 28th minute, after a run of good play, Kilmarnock are the ones who score first and get the goal to go 1-0 up. So long ball played up through the middle. Katic came running back. He was in line with the player. He still had to put a tackle in, but yeah. Bizarrely, McGregor comes charging out of his box, doesn't make a challenge. The Killie attacker rounds McGregor and basically has to tap it in the net. A moment of madness from McGregor there, because Katic had caught up with him.
He still had to
put a tackle in. He had a lot to do, the attacker. He still had to beat McGregor. If McGregor stood on his line,
yes.
He had a lot. It wouldn't have been a goal, I don't think.
Don't know what was going through McGregor's mind at the time, Derek. I don't know if he maybe thought that, you know, the Kilmarnock attacker was, you know, further forward than what Katic was. I'm trying to make excuses for the guy, because it's not like him to do things like that, Derek, to come charging out like that and to make a rash decision, you know, a goalkeeper of his experience. I was totally shocked by it. And as you just said, you took the words out of my mouth there, Katic was in line with him. And at that moment in time, I would have fancied Katic to, you know, at least keep up with the guy, if not to get a tackle in. And then again, as you've said, if McGregor had just stayed on his line, that attacker had a hell of a lot to do just to even get a shot on target. So an absolute moment of madness by McGregor. I don't know what was going through his head.
The only thing I can think of is that it's a complete lack of trust in his defence. Now, I don't know where the hell Goldson was at the time. He was doing his usual, you know, never anywhere in sight when this kind of move happens, but you know, all I can think of is that he doesn't have trust in Katic to make any challenge or anything like that. And a lot of people said as well at the time, well, McGregor couldn't really do anything, because if he touches him, then he's off. But he's just been booked for that remonstrating with the referee. So, well, it wouldn't have made a difference if he caught him anyway, because I'm sure the rules would be I'm sure the rules are that if he caught him, it would be classed as last man, and he would be off anyway, regardless if he had got the yellow card or not. So,
it was a strange decision, Derek, and it was a very, very costly decision by McGregor, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's hard to have a go at him at the same time.
I know,
because
he
has saved us so many times this season. So.
Yes.
So they went 1-0 up, and the game kind of continued like that. We had a lot of the possession, but we just couldn't do anything with it. The final third, once again, it was breaking down. A lot of the times, Killie were playing with all 11 men behind the ball. Sometimes they would leave a guy up, and There was even some times where they were playing with 10 guys in their own box, never mind, you know, 11 guys behind the ball. It was just madness, and that's what we're coming up against. And we all know that Killy are a very, very good defensive team. They set up well. They're not like a lot of the teams in the SPFL where they're just, you know, backs to the wall all the time and last ditch defending. Killy are organised at this, so it was uphill struggle right from then on. And really, Killy should have made it 2-0 on the 45th minute when they broke forward and they had a shot just inside of the box, but it went wide, and it should have been 2-0 then.
Yeah, I know. We got off very lightly there, Derek, and that would have been curtains big time at that point if that had went in, because the stadium was a bit deflated at that point, wasn't it? And, you know, everybody just sensed, oh, this isn't going to be your day.
Yeah, so really the first half we had a lot of possession, we were trying more shots, we were unlucky with a few, their keeper made a couple of good saves, but Killy, as I said, playing with all their players behind the ball most of the times, and it was a simple move from Killy, ultimately, and then a moment of madness from McGregor as they were undoing. Davis, I've got to say, for considering he's been very slow to start the games, he had been playing fairly well, I thought, this game.
Yeah.
However, Davis was probably the exception because it was passing a lot of our players by as well, no cutting edge as what's been said. But, you know, into the second half, uphill struggle, and it never really happened for us, apart from one moment of genius from Morelos.
Yeah, but absolute sheer class. I'll let you get into that, Derek.
It was obvious that a change had to be made, because we were just getting nothing down the right hand wing at all, and Halliday and Candeas came off, Grejda and Barisic came on. Again, in this half we had most of the play, but just couldn't break the defence down. No. It was going to take a moment of magic, and on the 62nd minute there was a shot on the deck from Koulibaly, but it was a comfortable save from their keeper. Koulibaly came off a minute later and Jermaine Defoe came on, and a minute after that, on the 64th minute, we did get the moment of magic from Morelos. It was a great Tavernier pass to Morelos on the edge of the box, great strength from Morelos, who had to fend off and turn the defender. He was all over Morelos at that point. With one touch he done that, and with his second touch he shot it into the back of the net, well past the keeper. Brilliant move all round.
The goal, Derek, I'm not saying that you're not giving it its just desserts, but this goal was absolutely sensational, in my opinion. This is one of the goals of the season, because if you actually look, the ball comes to him and he flicks it round the defender, who, as you say, was right on his back. He's got his back to goal, uses his left foot, he flicks the ball with his left foot round his left-hand side, but then in an instant turns the defender on the right-hand side, and the weight of the ball that he makes for himself is just absolutely sensational. Gets round the back of the defender, and then the finish is just absolutely sublime, Derek. That is, honestly, it's one of the goals of the season for me. I thought it was sheer world class. It was absolutely brilliant, a great goal, and it's just a pity that it wasn't the winning goal, because it was absolutely sensational.
Yep, absolutely. The rest of the game played out much of a muchness, to be honest. We had one really chance we should have made it 2-1, where Grejda got the ball to Defoe in the box. Defoe took it to the right, and I don't know if it was a shot or a cross. All he had to do was look up, to be honest, and Grejda was there in the middle, and I think it was more of a shot from Defoe, and it kind of went more like a cross, if that makes any sense, and all Grejda had to do was stick out his leg, and it was in, but he just couldn't get it. Had it been a better pass to Grejda in the first place, it was a simple tap-in, but Defoe maybe a bit greedy, and he tried to shoot, and it ended up being more of a cross, and, you know, just unlucky all round. And
I actually think that Defoe, you know, we all know the ability that he's got, Derek. I think he could have scored that one. I think Steven Gerrard said the same thing at the end of the press conference as well. So, as you say, I think he's went for the shot. He's made a bit of a muck-up. It's looked a bit of a cross, but unfortunately for Grejda, would have been great for Grejda, because I think you can tell he was desperate to do something when he came on, because he's been out that long.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think he was quite good when he came on, but anyway, that's how the game ended up, more or less, and, you know, dropping another 2 points and another game at home, it's, you know, ridiculous to how many games we've drawn, and that's where we've lost the league this year,
yes,
I think, that is the draws.
That's all it is. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So after the game, Was his name Gary Dicker? Dicker anyway.
Gary Dicker, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Came out after the game and said that refs turn a blind eye against decisions against Rangers at Ibrox. And that was in relation to the Broadfoot and Morelos incident that happened in the game as well. Now, clear TV pictures, I think it was coming towards half time, mm-hmm. And clear pictures show that Broadfoot and Morelos were having a wee bit of a verbal. Morelos walked away. Broadfoot came right up behind him and deliberately ran his studs down the heel of Morelos, and Morelos, and this is the one time I'll let him away with this one, he did react and he pushed him, and quite rightly so, because that is one of the most sorest things you can get, studs down the back of your Achilles like that. And you know, it was once again, all the media headlines were about Morelos and the push, not about the running the studs down the back of the leg.
It was a horrible, sneaky, despicable thing to do, Derek, what Broadfoot did to Alfredo Morelos. I used to always say, Derek, about Broadfoot, I used to say, there's a guy, played for Rangers, a team he's supposedly supported, you know, ended up playing in a European Cup final, got a Scotland cap and everything like that, and I used to have great admiration for him. No longer, Derek, after seeing some of the things that he's done against us over the last few seasons playing for Kilmarnock. It was absolutely disgusting. It was shocking. And like I said, it was just despicable, that wee flick. And, you know, as you say, down the back of his ankle. And I thought, that's just, you know, it's like the mark of a coward, isn't it? When somebody walks off and you'll have a fly wee dig like that. It was absolutely shocking. And I'm well behind Morelos as well, because if that had happened to you, it'd have happened to me, it'd have happened to anybody, they would have reacted the same way, regardless if they're Alfredo Morelos or not. It was absolutely shocking.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree at all. It was, you know, there's a thing about Rangers fans clapping ex-players, but, you know, this guy will get booed every single time, and I don't know why we're doing, still clapping the likes of Miller, we're still clapping the likes of Boyd. It's absolutely ridiculous given what they've said about the club and the media. But, you know, I just had to laugh at Gary Dicker as well, the fact that, you know, he's completely overlooking how dirty Kilmarnock were in this game, yep, and how much they've got away with over the last, mm-hmm, over the season against us, with boots to the face and everything like that. You know, it just beggars belief, the brass neck of some of these players that come up and try and say that against us. And apparently in the whole Morelos thing as well, that Kilmarnock have tried to claim that Morelos deliberately stamped on Broadfoot before it, which there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever,
exactly,
to say, which is absolute joke. But
nonsense.
Yeah, just unbelievable. But you expect nothing less. And Kilmarnock have, you know, very strangely tried to create a rivalry like Hibernian, like Dundee United have done. And, you know, absolutely, Kilmarnock have done brilliant to get themselves up this far. But as soon as, you know, Steve Clarke goes, then, you know, Kilmarnock are fucked again. And, you know, at the end of the day, they've completely faded away as well. So even Aberdeen are above them now. So they're getting a wee bit above their station, as per usual, with a lot of these clubs who have a good run. And they've got to remember, we've put them out of two cups this year. They've also won against us once, whereas we've won against them as well, and we've drawn the other games, haven't we? So
yeah,
they're no better than us. They're worse than us. So,
getting back into the league position though, Derek, and I think I sort of highlighted it the last time that we spoke, and again, it's happened here. It's very disappointing that we, you know, have dropped as many points and we've had so many draws. The one shining light, though, I would say, is that I never feel that when we're getting beat these days that we're going to get beat, if you know what I mean. I always feel, even if we're playing poorly, that we do have a chance to get back in the game and at least draw the match, which is a huge difference from last season when, you know, as soon as we went a goal down, we were saying to ourselves, oh well, that's us beaten, it just depends what the score's going to be now. Whereas at least this season, I do feel that we've got the players and we do have that wee bit of determination that we are going to score or, you know, get back into it. It's just been disappointing the times this season where we've been winning and we've thrown it away also, but So I mean, if I know it's been disappointing, Derek, but that has been, you know, a bit of a positive for me. And again, going into our next game, the pressure is on us, but I still always feel that we will, you know, at least be able to get a, you know, score and at least be able to get a draw out of this next game. Maybe I'm getting a wee bit above myself, but I genuinely do.
Well, just in terms of the league table, we've played 30, won 17, drawn 9, lost 4, scored 66, conceded 22, goal difference plus 44 and points 60. 10 points behind Celtic with a minus 7 goal difference to them. We've lost the same amount of games as Celtic this year. That shows you it's been lost on the draws. 8 points ahead of Aberdeen and 9 ahead of Killy. Just in relation to the league, how, yes, Celtic have been worse than they have been in the last couple of seasons, and that's largely, you know, potentially why we've been in a better position this year. However, yeah, there has been absolute improvements, and if people don't see that, then I don't know what they've been watching. The standard of football has been vastly improved, and
yes,
and as you said, when we go down, we look as if we're going to get back into it, at least.
Yep.
Talking about fine margins, and when you look at it this way, we lost a last minute goal against Aberdeen in the start of the season. We lost a last minute goal against Motherwell at the start of the season as well, the game after, I think it was. Yep. And that was basically two victories turned into two draws in the last minutes.
Yep.
Celtic have scored last minute goals against Dundee and Hearts just in the last few weeks there. Mm-hmm. Right there is an 8-point swing. Right there is your title race. You know, going into this Old Firm game, which is the next game, you know, we win that game, we're a point ahead. You know,
I know.
That shows you it is very, very fine margins, you know, when you're talking about this league. And yes, absolutely, some of the performances have not been good enough. Yes, we should have done a lot better in some of the games. We've lost some terrible points, been some refereeing decisions as well, which we're not going to blame fully on that one. But, you know, it's fine margins this year, I think. And, you know, it goes to show you we've got the spine of a good team. We just need the few quality signings in the right positions. And, you know, I think we're all resigned to losing Morelos. However, you get between 15 and 20 million in for him. There is potentially 3, 4, 5 good quality players, which we would be more than welcome. And I know that everybody's talking about doom and gloom, we're going to lose our best player and things like that. Did anybody think we were going to sign somebody as classy as Morelos for £1 million a couple of years ago? They come from out of the blue sometimes, and yeah, we need to have a good scouting system in, which I think we've got finally. We'll just need to wait and see what happens in that one.
Aye, it's as I say, a lot of people are thinking that we're going to lose them, and you know, it's you know, it just depends how much that we're going to get from. The season's no finished yet, Derek. I hope that he goes on and scores a barrelload more. I definitely think he needs to get the monkey off his back by scoring against them.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I think for him also, especially if this is going to be his last season, he'll not want to be playing these two seasons in Scotland, being the top goal scorer and not getting a goal against them. So I really hope that he breaks his duck on Sunday against them. I hope he scores about fucking 5 against the bastards, but that's, you know, it's, we'll wait and see what happens. But no, I don't think it is all doom and gloom, Derek, and I actually do think that this international break came at the perfect time for us, because it came at the worst possible time. The last time, just after we beat them, we could have been going on a wee run of games after that, and it didn't happen because of the international break. But I think we were needing this one.
Yeah,
because we were in a bit of a rut. So here's hoping they come back rejuvenated and ready to go, and we go out and give them a right old royal pumping on Sunday.
Yep. I want to talk about one more thing just after about the next games, but obviously we're playing Sunday on the 31st of March away against Celtic. That's a midday kickoff. Bobby Madden's going to be the referee for that one, so we'll
wait. Yes, I heard that.
It's like picking the worst shite or something like that.
Aye, I don't know.
After that, we've got Wednesday the 3rd of April at home to Hearts. That's a 19:45 kickoff. And then it's Sunday the 7th of April away to Motherwell. That's a 12:30 kickoff. Now, obviously, Dave, you're away for 2 weeks, so that'll be after the split we come back, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
Yes, so Just in relation to the game on Sunday as well, obviously we mentioned that the away fans or fans have got to turn up at the Chris Hoy Velodrome at 11 or half 10 because the police are going to march them over to the stadium to be in their seats for 11 o'clock. Now Club 1872 tried to get that overturned and it's failed on safety grounds apparently, according to Celtic and the police. Apparently if you turn up after 11 a.m. you're not getting in till after kickoff. So I just unbelievable how they can do this. This is all down to the fact that Celtic can't control their segregation. Simple as. It's a shite stadium. It's fallen apart, which is no secret there. But just a shocking way to treat fans once again. But
I've never heard anything like that before, Derek. I really haven't. And as you say, it's just, I can't believe that, you know, it's happening. I can't believe that they're getting away with this and they're using safety as their excuse. And it's funny that it's all happening, you know, this season. It's never happened before. And it's a complete farce. And you really do have to feel for the fans because, let's be honest, Derek, I wouldn't want to be in that stadium a minute longer than I really had to be. Let's be perfectly honest. So they'll have to go in and wait, you know, an hour or, you know, at least 45 minutes before kickoff to get in there. And I don't know what's happening at the end of the game, Derek, as well. Is there going to be a delay in the fans being able to leave the stadium as well? So
exactly. Well, I was speaking to a Celtic fan at my work who was actually caught up in the crushing in the last game, and he said the issue actually is because that's normally a one-way system through that tunnel at the back of the stadium, or not a one-way system, but fans normally only go one way anyway, because if they want to get to that side of the park, they would just go round the front of the stadium. However, because the Rangers fans section is in that stadium, the police had cordoned that off. So what would have to happen is Celtic fans had to go through the tunnel to get to that other side, to the Green Brigade section. So it was basically a mass of fans going try to go two ways through that tunnel where they normally only went one way.
Yes.
And because of the blockages, the police moved the horses in, they were closing sections off and allowing people to go in and out at certain different times. That's what caused all the issues. So there is other ways of there is an alternative. It's a longer way for the Celtic fans to get in, but they need to implement that rather than causing this issues for our fans. But anyway, the one thing I wanted to talk about, and it caused a bit of a stooshie on our Twitter, is, and I know I'm highlighting one player here, but it's James Tavernier. Now, he's not the only one who has had issues with been underperforming, and I know what people are saying. He's scored with 13, 14 goals. He's done 13, 14 assists. Yes, he has. Absolutely. Can't take that away from him. However, his goals are been penalties, all bar one goal, I think it was, and that was against Dundee, the game we were at. And yes, he has put 14 assists, but how many more assists could he get if he could actually cross a ball 7 or 8 times out of 10 better than he does the 1 or 2 times out of 10 he does now? I don't know what your opinion on Dave is, but he's a first start. He's the first name on the team sheet all the time. However, I just think he hinders us because he's not the greatest of defenders, which is his main role. He's a right back, for God's sake. Yes, he's improved in that area this year, but he's not good enough. He's largely left out of position. He was left out of position in, I think, the Aberdeen goal for Aberdeen. He scored their first goal in the cup game, and then he sauntered back. He does provide, but not he's enough for me.
Derek, can you remember back to the start of the season when Steven Gerrard came in to be your manager, and he named James Tavernier as the captain of the club? And I said to you at the time, even although we do think that Tavernier is a good player when he's on his game, this will now make him undroppable.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we said that at the start of the season. I remember saying it clearly. And he is the captain of the team. You don't drop your captain. Your captain's supposed to be inspirational. We are not privy to what goes on in the changing rooms before the match. Maybe James Tavernier is that man. Maybe he is the man that gets the players completely, you know, motivated and going. But I do clearly remember saying that he will now be undroppable. And I am a firm believer of, if you are having a poor period, then you know you shouldn't be playing in the team. And the vast majority of the times, it will motivate somebody to get back to their best. Now, don't get me wrong, Derek, when Tavernier is on his game, he's sensational.
Yeah.
He really is. He's fantastic, but he hasn't been as consistently, you know, he's not consistent. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, and I do get the fact that he has scored a lot of goals and there has been a lot of assists, but I agree with you 100%, Derek. We've seen him at his very best, but more than often, he is mediocre to pretty poor and has been this season. And I'm no, as I say, that's no me slagging the guy off, because I do think he's a, you know, he could be a really good player, but I think him, the status of him being the captain now makes him undroppable for the team.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think about that.
I mean, as you said, he's when he's on his game, he's unplayable. He's brilliant at what he does. However, he does, both him and Candeias are kind of very alike in that respect, where they can fade out of games, and there's just games where every ball they put in or every free kick Tavernier takes, because when was the last time he hit a good free kick? It just goes to the wrong place. It goes to the opposition man. It doesn't find our men. It goes too long. It goes too short. And yeah, when you're in that position, you're going to have a lot of chances, a lot of balls that you're crossing that won't come off, but it doesn't come off enough for me. And as you said, he's inconsistent.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, what makes him a luxury player, because he's, when he's on his game, he is outstanding. And
yeah,
I think that's what makes him, that's what makes him have a start as well, for the fact that you can't risk dropping that kind of talent. However, there's more often than not that he doesn't produce that. So he needs to be subbed a lot more. And yeah, he's played, I think, just about every single game this year. I think he was dropped sort of maybe one or two games early on in the season.
At the start, aye. Mm-hmm.
But he's played just about every single minute of each game this year. Maybe it is just tiredness. So that regardless, it should be then that's the management that sees that, like that we're seeing, and then and make the changes accordingly. And yeah, we're very short in that position. The natural player is Flanagan, who was getting played on the other side, wasn't he? But
the one thing I'll say now, though, Derek, is we now have this American guy, Polster, who is supposed to be very, very highly rated as a right back, you know, and I'm sure that I'm sure. I actually have a feeling, Derek, that maybe James Tavernier might be another player who will go in the summer. I think there could be a bid for him. And let's be honest, Derek, if I bid £5 or £6 million come in for James Tavernier, would you take that?
I think he's in this day and age, I think he's worth a lot more, to be honest, given his stats. However, especially when £10 million is getting touted for that Aberdeen defender.
I know, but that, again, that's I don't know if that's reality or not, but it's I just have a feeling that we might get tested, and there might be a few bids in for Tavernier just because of the amount of goals that he has scored and assists that he has had. I think that will be put on there, as you know, he's a fantastic attacking fullback, which, like we've just said, Derek, on his day he is. He's, you know, he's phenomenal, but I just feel now that he would benefit possibly by getting dropped for a few games, just like what happened to Ryan Kent, Derek. If you remember, before the Celtic game, Ryan Kent missed a few games for Rangers. You know, either, you know, he was dropped and then he was injured also, and he came back completely rejuvenated and tore Celtic to bits the last time, and he's been a fantastic player for us. Players sometimes do need to have a wee spell on the sidelines, even if it's just for one or two games, just to get their hunger back. And maybe it's just that he's needing, Derek, I don't know.
What really annoys me, though, is there are some players on Rangers Twitter and in the Rangers fan base in general that just seem to be completely immune from criticism, and Tavernier's one of them. Another one is who drew the same kind of ire any time you criticised them was Andy Halliday. Yeah. Another player was Lee Wallace. These are three players over the past maybe year or two that have came in for some criticism by me and by several other people, and it's drew the rage of a lot of Rangers, other Rangers fans, and I don't understand why, for the fact that if players are playing shit or they're underperforming or they're inconsistent, quite rightly, they're due some criticism. You know, you can highlight how good a player they can be, but they're not immune from criticism, and that's what really annoys me. And I think that's what draws out even more, I wouldn't say venom against them, but it draws even more criticism out against them because people back them up so much. You know, Andy Halliday got, you know, a wee bit of criticism and people said, oh, you know, you can't say that, he's one of us. And that's fucking nothing to do with it. Same with Lee Wallace, he stayed for the fight. Well, yeah, that's commendable, but then you look at Lee Wallace, and we've been over Lee Wallace before, but when you look at his stats, he's played one great season in the Championship, one average season, and he's been pish poor or injured since he's been in the Premiership. So, you know, you've got to criticise him there and lay out the cold hard stats, like you do with Tavernier, like you do with Andy Halliday. Andy Halliday was shit. He was great in the Championship for one season. He was average, then he was absolute shit in the Premiership, and now this season he's came back, and rightly so, he's had a lot of praise because he's been immense so far. So I don't understand some people's thinking when it comes to not criticising players. When they're due it, they're due it. When they're not, it's as simple as. And that's the thing about opinions. Your people are allowed to have them. It's just when some people are not allowed to have them when it comes to certain players, it seems.
Yeah, no, you're quite right, Derek.
Anyway, we'll leave it there anyway. Obviously, I'll be back with a post-match pod after the Celtic, Hearts and Motherwell game. However, obviously, there'll be no main pod until well after them when Dave comes back. So, unless you can get a Skype connection abroad and your wife will let you.
Well, we'll wait and see, Derek. I'll not make any promises.
You can do a pished pod from the pool with a pint of beer.
Pod, aye. That's all the peas.
Aye, a pished pod from the pool.
With a pint.
Just don't pish in the pool.
Exactly. Or in the pint.
Yes, so we'll move on now swiftly for that, and we'll go to the classic match.
And there it is. The final whistle's gone. Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
I'm going to go back in time, Derek. I'm going to go back to a year which, if I've got my calculations correct, was possibly the year of your birth, Derek. 1986, would that be right?
Incorrect. I was less than a year old at that point.
Okay. Well, I've made a complete arse of that then, haven't I? Never mind.
I always keep saying the best year was 1985. They had Live Aid, then they had me.
Is that right?
Yep.
Well, I'm going back to 1986, Derek. 1986, the year of the Chernobyl disaster. Derek, that's what I'm going by. That was the main sort of news feature in 1986. It was a time, Derek, of very, very short shorts, and it was a time where only certain men could sport a magnificent moustache and get away with it. One of those men was, of course, the man himself, Mr. Graham Souness, who had just... the end of the previous season had taken over Rangers for the start of a footballing revolution, and Graham Souness's first chance as Rangers manager of a piece of silverware was in the League Cup final, or as it was known back then, the Scull Cup final, which was played on the 26th of October 1986 against our big rivals, Celtic. The Rangers team for that day, some legendary names here: Chris Woods in goal, in defence, Jimmy Nicol, Stuart Munro, Cammy Fraser, Terry Butcher, Ali Dawson, Derek Ferguson, the Tin Man, Ted McMahon, Ali McCoist, Ian Durant, and the legendary Davy Cooper. Looking on to the Celtic team, Derek, I won't say fondly, but there's a lot of players in here, Derek, that someone was to say to me, who's the first player that comes into your head when I say Celtic goalkeeper, And the first player that I would think of would be Pat Bonner. He was in goals for Celtic that day, but also Peter Grant, Murdo McLeod were playing that day. Roy Aitken was the captain. Derek White, Mark McGee, Brian McClure, Paul McStay, Mo Johnson, you know, some of these players all experienced the international players, Derek, and a lot of them went on to play down in England and carve out, you know, really massive careers for themselves. So a lot of very, very famous players playing for Celtic on that day. So it was going to be a tough, tough game. But Rangers really were the better team on the day. But the game kicked off at a furious pace inside Hampden. I'm sure the capacity that day was something like 76,000 people that were inside Hampden for this match. There was an early free kick for Celtic taken by Paul McStay high into the box, but cleared away by Terry Butcher, the fantastic header that he got away in the air. Then early on, some great skills. First touch of the ball by Davy Cooper as he receives the ball at the byline. One way, then another, and then he's absolutely battered, taken out. But he manages to get back onto his feet. That was what I loved about watching the footage of Davy Cooper. It didn't matter who came in and thumped him. He wasn't one of these guys that would just lie down on the floor, you know, getting kicked, barged about, still managed to get up, skinned his man one way, took one way, put a fantastic cross right across the face of the goal, but it was cleared. Then after that, a few minutes after that, Celtic with their first real chance of the game, a long ball to Brian McClure on the left-hand side. He cuts inside. It hits a weak, low shot towards Chris Woods. We're quite fortunate there because he was unmarked when he received the ball. Then it was Davy Cooper's turn again, picked up the ball in his own half and just runs at the Celtic defence, completely menacing. And then Roy Aitken, you know, dirty hacking get, he was well known for, right through Davy Cooper, absolutely sprawls him. No yellow card, which is quite incredible. But then we get that free kick and Cammy Fraser takes it with a long shot which actually hits the base of the post and batters out and cleared away for Celtic. Really unlucky there by Fraser. Then after that, Rangers win the ball in midfield again, played to Ted McMinn down the right hand side, who played the ball into Davy Cooper. He's brought down again, he's the main threat. Celtic are trying to, you know, to stop him every way they can. Free kick to Rangers in the centre of the pitch, which Fraser takes. It's headed into the penalty area by Terry Butcher to Ali McCoist, who's completely unmarked right in front of goal. He shoots low, but is saved by Pat Bonner. Really, really unlucky. Should have been 1-0 up at that point. Rangers, the better team at this point, win the ball again by Derek Ferguson in the centre of the park. Finds Davy Cooper, who's hacked down again by Roy Aitken, and this time it's a yellow card. And you can actually, what's quite funny about that clip is that Roy Aitken, after completely scything down Davy Cooper, and his, you know, the malice was unbelievable, Roy Aitken's actually gone absolutely daft at him for diving, and you can see Davy Cooper's right up calling him all the dirty F&Bs under the sun, and the two of them are nose to nose. But Roy Aitken booked for that one finally. So that was a free kick to Rangers, cleared again by Celtic on the counter to the edge of the Rangers box, one back by who? Davy Cooper. So he'd been scythed down at the edge of his own box. Rangers had got the free kick and it got cleared. Celtic were on the attack up to the edge of the Rangers box, and it was actually Davy Cooper that had got back and made the last ditch clearance to save the day for Rangers. So showing his defensive qualities as well as his attacking qualities there. Then again, I keep saying his name, Davy Cooper on the left-hand side of the field, onto Ted McMinn, who lets fly with a shot just past the post. It would have been an absolute screamer if it had went in. Celtic just can't get into anything at this point. Still in the first half, there's a few harsh tackles going in. Celtic can't get anything. Finally, they get a free kick, which is into the box, but Rangers cleared to Fraser, who put a lovely ball down to Ian Durant, who hedged the ball on for himself, down the wing. It sort of came to him. He knew it wasn't going to have the legs. He actually flicked the ball on for himself to run down the wing. He puts a ball on to Ali McCoist, who was in the centre of the field, but he ran diagonally to get onto the wing. Ian Durrant played the ball to him, and then McCoist with a phenomenal reverse pass back to Ian Durrant, one and one with Pat Bonner just to the sort of right hand side of his goal. It shoots over. It would have been a sensational goal. Really unlucky there. Then just before half time, Celtic get one slight chance. Mo Johnson gets through and shoots and hits the post. So we're quite unlucky there. Back to Mark McGee, but it was saved. His shot was saved by Chris Wood. So Celtic really having one main chance, and it was right before half time. But at that point, the game was still 0-0, completely dominated by Rangers. But goal had they been scored, we knew that Celtic wouldn't be as poor as they had been in the first half, and the second half was a bit of a roller coaster. Celtic came out completely different team. Started putting quite a few long balls into the box. They fired one in, which was claimed by Chris Woods. Fantastic save by him. Then Rangers midfield winning the ball back in the centre of the field. And it wasn't too long after that, and on the 62nd minute, we finally got a goal for Rangers.
Cammy Fraser is there. Butcher's there. Durrant is there and scores. Durrant has scored for Rangers. 1-0 with exactly 17 minutes gone, and the referee will have to drag them down again. They're not supposed to go to the crowd, and the Rangers multitudes go into a mass hysteria. Well, the very boy we were just talking about there takes his chance, only a half chance, touched by Terry Butcher, went to the outside and the near side of the goalkeeper. Rangers are in the lead.
It was a free kick on the right-hand wing by Davy Cooper. He fired it into the box. It was actually cushioned on the chest by Durrant himself. It was fantastic the way that he controlled it on his chest and actually took it past the defender, and Durrant fired it low past Pat Bonner to make it 1-0 to Rangers. A great goal. But then after that, a free kick to Celtic on the edge of their box, which is cleared by Davy Cooper again. Flicked the ball to Ian Durrant. Back to Davy Cooper again. Great first touch play. Then it was put back into the midfield, but a last ditch tackle by the Celtic defender managed to get away again. Sensational play by Davy Cooper. Then Celtic back in, a free kick on the edge of the box. They hit a shot which actually hits the bar, falls back to Roy Aitken's head. It's heading towards goal on the far side, and a fantastic save by Chris Woods to palm the ball out to stop Celtic from equalising. But it was only a few minutes after that that Celtic did get the equaliser.
Edison, a brilliant equaliser. McClure.
Celtic have definitely got their tails up now. I'd much rather be the Celtic manager at the moment than the Rangers one.
Brian McClure fired a shot into the top right corner past Chris Woods. So the game was on a knife's edge. Celtic could sense that they were getting, you know, they had the chance to go and win this, and they were in the ascendancy at that point. But then Rangers, Celtic with a ball into the box. It was cleared by Ian Durrant. He plays the ball out to Derek Ferguson. He picks the ball up in midfield, out to Davy Cooper on the right. One twist one way, one turn another way. Brought down by Murdo McLeod again, because they just couldn't get anywhere near him. Free kick to Rangers at that point in the 84th minute. Davy Cooper with the free kick to the back post, and Roy Aitken right on top of Terry Butcher, hauling him down. Referee points to the spot. It's a penalty to Rangers.
We definitely lack in the game enough players to take the ball to opposing defenders.
Goes for a penalty kick there. It's a given. It's a penalty to Rangers. Butcher was fouled according to the referee. There it is again. Jim?
No doubts at all, a penalty kick.
So, a vital moment in this game. I make it 5.5 minutes remaining of the Skull Cup final. Penalty to Rangers. 2-1. Done with the greatest simplicity by a man hoisted up by McCoist. Davy Cooper.
Who steps up but the man of the match, the man that had been pulling all the strings, the great Davy Cooper, steps up, cool as you like, confidence in abundance, and fires it past, blow past Pat Bonner to put Rangers 2-1 up. And again, we spoke last week about the iconic picture of Mark Catley. Well, this for me is another iconic pose, for when he scored that, he just stood in the middle, never moved, and Ali McCoist came over and hoisted him up, and he just punched his hand in the air. It's a, as I say, it's an image that gets shown, you know, over and over again. Iconic. Great play by Rangers. And after that, the only bit of controversy in the match were two red cards, which were shown to Mo Johnson and Shepherd right at the end of the match. But the referee blew the final whistle.
And there goes the final whistle. Rangers have won the Scull League Cup final. The cup goes to Ibrox.
Davy Cooper was sensational, and Terry Butcher actually lifted. He was the first Englishman to lift the Scottish League Cup as well, Derek. So it was fantastic. It was Graham Souness' first trophy as manager. And just watching Davy Cooper back in that game, it just shows you the absolute class act a player he was, because he had all the skill, all the power. He could defend, but he could also mix it with the best of them. He was getting targeted all over the shop, but never went down, never rolled about. He always tried to get back up and win the ball back and get going, and I think that was just the type of player that he was, Derek. So I don't know if you had the chance to go back and watch it all in full, Derek, but it was a great game to watch, and you know, some quite incredible tackles going in that match, and you know, a fantastic victory for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I did watch back the highlights, and it was a fantastic game all round. There's a link to the full game on YouTube as well, strangely enough. So if you've got the time, you can watch that. 74,000 fans in Hampden, and the atmosphere sounded bright. Yeah. Square posts as well. I don't know if you've seen that. Celtic were dirty bastards in that game, but there's no change there. And funny you mentioned right at the very start about the era of short shorts, because I did notice Mo Johnson's shorts were very, very short.
They were ridiculously short.
They were halfway up his bloody arse.
It was. I was actually sat and I watched the game with my wee boy. Well, I said my wee boy. You know, he's known as we do. And I do try to teach him a lot about you know, historic things that happened with Rangers. And I was sitting watching it, and he came over and says, "What game are you watching?" And we sat and watched it, and you could hear the Rangers fans in the background, "Mo, Mo, fuck your Mo, Mo, Mo." And I says, "Actually, Cameron, do you know what happened a few seasons after that?" I says, "He actually signed for Rangers." And even he was kind of, taken aback, Derek, because for him, the big shock isn't there anymore. But just even the fact that an ex-Celtic player went on and actually signed for Rangers is still a bit of a shock, and he was asking me all about him and stuff like that. So, no, it was good. I thoroughly enjoyed watching the game back, Derek, and as I say, watching even the likes of Ian Durrant. Ian Durrant was a sensational player when he was, you know, when he was really young, Derek. He really was, and, you know, the injury that happened to him was an absolute tragedy, because he could have went on to be, you know, an absolute world-class player. So, again, if you get the chance to go back and watch the game, please do, and you'll see a completely different era of football and how it was played back then. And as you said, Derek, some absolutely disgusting tackles in the match, and but it was just great to watch. It really was.
Yeah. So Dave will be back with another classic match in the next episode. Yep. So we'll go into the news. As ever, quite a few bits and pieces to go over here in the news. First one we've got to start with, obviously, is the shocking news about Gary McAllister being attacked in Leeds while waiting for a taxi with his wife. He had been down in Liverpool watching the Liverpool Legends game, and afterwards he went to Leeds for a meal the night out with his wife, and apparently it's been an American guy with knuckle dusters going about the place, caused a few other attacks in the city last night, that night as well. McAllister needed 12 stitches and his lip sorted by a plastic surgeon.
Absolutely shocking.
Lost three teeth and left him quite shaken, and his wife had to kind of try and help him and fight off the attacker as well. So the police are no further forward, according to the media just now, about trying to find whoever it was. Just absolutely mindless. McAllister is going to be in the dugout for the game in the weekend, which was fantastic news. I'm glad to see he's up and about, and he was shaken with it, but I'm glad to see he's okay. And you know, it's a shocking state of affairs to be in.
Absolutely terrible, Derek. We just really have to hope that the suspect is found very quickly, especially the fact that we know, you know, and information about him already. But again, despicable that there's folk that are walking about and they're carrying stuff like that. Absolutely shocking.
Yep. A bit of good news, though, to counter that, today we have appointed James Bisgrove as a Director of Commercial and Marketing. Will join in June, and he comes with a great pedigree. His current role just now is the Head of Sponsor Partnership Management at Team Marketing AG, who are the company with the exclusive marketing rights for UEFA competitions. Ooh. Previously worked as the Commercial and Marketing Director with UEFA, Emirates Airlines and Betfair. So this is going to be largely in the background post, but I think this is a potential to be major for the club, because the commercial department over the last however God knows how long, ever since David Murray decided to dump us, has been non-existent. There's not been any thought put into it. This is going to be massive, I think, in terms of revenue being able to generate and getting the Rangers name out there, and it'll kind of spiral. As soon as we get the one big name in, there'll be another big name wanting to be appointed and such like, and you know, the money that can be generated from this is fantastic. Great to see that we've got someone with a proven track record and with massive companies as well involved. It can only be a good thing. And you know, like the hunt for the manager, it's taken a bit of time to get this sorted out. However, quite rightly, the board wanted to get the position, the appointee correct in the first place. Yep. So
brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic for the club.
Great stuff.
Next one we've got is also another bit of good news, is Rangers to provide free sanitary products for female fans in the stadium as well. So jumping on the bandwagon with this, and quite rightly so, and always good for the club as well.
Again, excellent.
Yes, there's jokes to be made there, I'm sure, but we're going to leave that there. Next thing here is Rangers had appealed the yellow card shown to Morelos for apparently diving in the Aberdeen game. As expected, it was rejected by the SFA. You can actually appeal yellows for yellow cards being given for dives, apparently, which I never knew about, so every day's a school day. I was unsure about it at the time. The replay shows that there was a clear pullback. Morelos arguably did go down a bit easy. It may not have been a penalty for me, but it certainly wasn't a dive or a yellow card. And that's the issue. The fact that people have seen the evidence from several different camera angles that we've all seen now, and they still think it was a dive and a justified yellow, that speaks volumes to me.
Yeah.
So it's, once again, you know, refereed differently as usual, but...
As I say, it happens every week, Derek, but as you quite rightly said, it wasn't a surprise, and was it? I think it would have been a surprise if, you know, it had been overturned, but we just knew that it wasn't going to be.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it was a game-changing moment there.
Yes.
Yellow card for the opposition player, and, you know, a penalty to us it would have been, but, you know... At the same game, the cops in Aberdeen are to investigate singing by Aberdeen fans for Sad Orange Bastard against Steven Gerrard. It was highlighted in some media outlets this time, which is a slight step up. However, Gerrard did comment on the next press conference, and he turned around and said, quite correctly, words have never hurt me. I've had a lot of abuse in a lot of stadiums, but I'm totally fine with that. Yep. You know, he's not justifying it. It doesn't make it correct. However... Mm-hmm. As he's correctly, you know, saying, he's not going off in a strop about it like Clark's done. He's not making excuses for anything or bad performances. He's just saying, it happens. It didn't hurt me. You know, let's move on.
Exactly, Derek. I thought it was sheer class by the manager to do that. As you say, the way that he did it, it certainly didn't condone the actions, but at the same time, I thought he did the perfect thing by basically saying, well, you know, so what? It doesn't bother me if they say anything about me and the fans. So, you know, very well done by the manager there.
Yep. Before the Kilmarnock game, now we did mention this in the last pod, the Vanguard Bears had organised a protest outside BBC HQ and it went ahead despite weather putting some people off. I'm really not exactly what sure it achieved. You know, as I said in the last podcast, fair enough, you have a march, you have a protest, but, you know, what's the aim of it? All that the BBC would have seen is, some Rangers fans are disgruntled at the BBC, which they should have known about already. Because basically, a couple of nights ago, it made no issue whatsoever, because in a domestic abuse segment during BBC Scotland's The Nine programme, they managed to link Rangers to it by saying, domestic abuse is not just a black eye when Rangers lose and that. Rangers have quite rightly came out and slammed it, saying that you know, it was a joke how to even link that to us, and we do more than most to try and combat and highlight how wrong it is. So, you know, quite clearly the BBC in Scotland have no intention to sort this fight. Their journalistic integrity is shot to pieces, and for them to even try and say that they have any, they're even handed with reporting when it comes to Rangers is just, you know, an absolute joke and not worth the breath it comes from, to be honest. So that will rumble on forevermore. They're quite clearly not willing to budge on this one, and it's going to take, I think, from BBC HQ down south to really take note of this, and I can't believe that they've not stepped in so far.
I know, we've been saying it for a while, Derek, but, you know, it's something that I think we both thought surely the BBC will even step in to say, you know, why are we not getting to speak to Steven Gerrard? Why are we not getting to speak to the Rangers players? But it's still not happened yet as well. So, but we've known this for a long time, Derek, haven't we? So it's certainly not any surprise to us.
Yeah. Next thing is Barisic played for Croatia in the internationals there and he got his first international goal as well. However, he did have to go off injured in the second game, and that's ruled him out for the game at the weekend.
Yes. As we said, Derek, we had the pleasure of speaking to one of our old colleagues and, you know, fanatical Rangers fan who follows the team home and away. And I did actually have to chuckle because it was just after the first game where Barisic scored. And, you know, he said something that we've been saying is, you know, surely we've actually signed Barisic's identical twin brother, because it's certainly not the guy that's playing for Croatia. You know, Derek, we know that there is a world-class player in there. I don't know what's happened to him. After his last injury, he certainly not came back the player that we thought that he was going to be. And now this is, I'm hoping, not going to be another major setback, because he is going to miss the game on Sunday now as well. So delighted for him that he's still getting picked for Croatia. It shows that, you know, that the guy is a class act player to actually get his game. Delighted that he scored also, but a bit disappointed now that he's injured and he's not going to be playing on Sunday.
Ah, steady on, Dave. World class. I mean, that's a wee bit too much right there.
Well, come on. Look at Croatia, Derek. I mean, I keep saying it. You can't be shite and get a game for Croatia. Do you know what I mean? Well, in a national, so there's got to be something there. And I genuinely do think that there is an absolutely phenomenal player in there, Derek. But it's not working for him at the moment, is it? And, you know, the fact that he's injured again is just another setback for him.
Yep. More good news in terms of the international front. Morelos came on as a sub with 4 minutes to go out in Colombia's game against Japan, and he impressed even though it was 4 minutes. I think he had a great nutmeg, I think, he'd done to someone as well. He did start the second game for them. I think that was against Korea, I think.
That's correct, yes.
And he did come off at half-time. Now, he played apparently very well. His teammates have been praising him quite a bit. However, as usual, the media in this country have a for missing a glaring opportunity, apparently, and it was I've not seen it back, but from what the comments I've seen, is there was no way that was a glaring opportunity.
Exactly.
So,
But again, it's to be expected, though, Derek, isn't it? Yeah. They've got to put some sort of negative glint on anything to do with Alfredo Morelos. No, absolutely delighted. Colombia are a phenomenal team, one of the best teams in the world. You know, they always qualify for every major tournament there is. They always go far, and for him to be in that setup is just absolutely sensational, and shows you how far the guys came in, you know, two short seasons.
Yep. Next one here. Jim White blames the Old Firm for Scotland national team being rubbish and linked the singing against Steve Clarke that the Rangers fan done into it as well during a rant on TalkSport. He's really becoming a fanny, isn't he?
I'm quite surprised, because he was very, very pro Rangers, wasn't he? He was always known for being very pro Rangers, but I think ever since he got the gig on TalkSport, Derek, he's trying to be as controversial as he possibly can, and it's backfiring on him. He has, I've listened to quite a few of his shows on TalkSport before, and he's certainly got a lot of people's back up, Derek, and I don't know if he's deliberately trying to do that to try and make himself the sort of shock jock on the radio station or no, but it certainly doesn't suit him. I think we all preferred the Jim White that was, friends with everybody, and, you know, he was a wee bit smarmy and all that, but he has been trying to be extra controversial recently, and this is just another ridiculous comment that he's made, isn't it?
Yeah, there was a Partick Thistle player that came out and said the same, and I think wee Chesney's came out and said similar as well. You know, the issue is not just with the Old Firm, it's the systemic issue that's been paraded with the SFA through grassroots football from day one, it seems. Now, I read something that Craig Brown said that he wanted £60 million for AstroTurf patches so that everybody could train, and the SFA decided to redevelop Hampden into the shithole that it is instead of
total
doing that.
Shithole.
Instead of working on the grassroots football, they fucked it, really. I've had discussions with mates at work about the whole situation as well. It's the SFA is too much self-serving going on there and not enough looking at the football. Now, if Craig Brown could see that back in 98, he's the one that's picking the international team, and he quite clearly can see that there's a lack of talent that's coming through. So who better to be in that position to try and get something started? He tried and the SFA blocked it. So they're reaping what they sowed just now with what Scotland is, and quite frankly, I don't give a shit about Scotland. I know you're more of a fan than me, but the way they've treated our players and Rangers over the past 7-8 years, you know, I don't give a shit.
I think, Derek, I think it's just more the sort of romance for me, to be perfectly honest with you. I can remember, you know, Scotland playing in the 1990 World Cup, and playing in major tournaments, and, you know, the vast majority of the players were Rangers players, and always feeling that sort of proud way that, you know, my team were, you know, providing players that were playing in this, you know, world stage. Recently, it's just been an absolute joke, and I made the mistake of watching the Kazakhstan game last week just because of the time of day that it was on, and I've honestly say, Derek, I've never watched a worse game of football in many, many years. They were absolutely shocking, and I was actually laughing when the third goal went, and that's how bad it was. I didn't watch the second game that they played against San Marino. I had no interest in that game whatsoever. I've got no interest in the current players that are playing for Scotland. I feel sorry for Alec McLeish, I really do, because I had the pleasure of meeting him, and he was spoke really, really positively about Rangers and really positively about the Scotland job, and I feel sorry for him. But the type of player that we're having to rely on is just absolutely shite. And, I would be more interested if there were more Rangers players in the team, but it's not happening right now. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm more interested in my team getting back to the top at the moment before I would think about Scotland. It is a shame, and I will always cheer them on, but I'm certainly not as passionate about cheering on my national team as I used to be, put it that way, Derek.
I mean, from my point of view and looking from the outside, not being a big fan at all, is I think any player or any coach that has been part of the last three regimes, I think, need to be shown their jotters and you start afresh. I think part of the issue is all the Scotland fans were wanting this big name to come in, but there was nobody there willing to take the job. I mean, their first choice, Michael O'Neill, turned down the job. So what does that say? So then they were left scrambling to try and get a big name. They went to a past name who was arguably proven, and he's not the same manager he was as 20, 15 years ago. So you can, you know, knock that one in the head. So that's where you can feel sorry for him. But certainly anybody there who has been with any of the past, you know, three regimes, get rid of them, start afresh. Go to one of the lesser known managers who are making a good name for themselves down in the kind of Scottish leagues, and then let him start, and then there's no expectation. And I think one of the other issues is that people were saying, oh, it's shocking Scotland getting beat for Kazakhstan. There's this inherent, you know, God-given right that some Scotland fans and the media certainly think that Scotland should be beating these teams. Scotland have got a proven track record of playing shite against these teams. We are no better than them, and that's where they need to remember that. And also as well, you look at, they say that, oh, the Scotland team is underperforming just now. The Scotland team have always underperformed. If you look back to when we had literally world-class players in the Scotland team, we should be qualifying for every single tournament. Never mind just qualifying, we should be getting to the latter stages given the world-class players we've had previously in our squads. And this is going back from even before me and you were born,
yeah,
Dave.
No, I know, I understand. So,
right now, we've got nowhere near that same talent. So to say that these players are underperforming, they're probably not. They're probably playing at their level, and that's a sad indictment of the way the SFA have let the game go in this country. Yep. And that goes for our league as well. They've just run it into the ground, and that's why we are a laughingstock around the world. We do have some great games, but we have some utter dross as well, and that's the problem. And it's not just to do with the national team, it's to do with our league as well.
Yeah, no, I understand. I have said the same thing, Derek, about the English Championship. I've watched a lot of games in the English Championship, and I've got a bit of an affiliation through family ties for Sheffield United, so I always watch any of their games that are on, and the standard of football in the English Championship is dreadful as well, Derek. I mean, and there's a lot of huge teams down there, but it's not the best for the amount of money, but unfortunately that's where the vast majority of our so-called Scotland team are coming from, are playing in the Championship, and it's not a great level either. Let me tell you, so it's certainly not a quick fix for it to happen, Derek. It's going to take a long time, but I just hope that I can get back to that way at some point where I can actually watch a Scotland game and see quite a few Rangers players in it and actually feel proud again that they're playing international football, but it'll not be for a while, Derek.
No. Our manager, Steven Gerrard, scored a late winner in the Liverpool Legends game we mentioned about earlier on, and it was a cracking goal, wasn't it?
I've not seen it, Derek. Oh, I've not seen it at all.
I mean, certainly, I know he's got issues with, I think it's his back or his hips or his groin or something like that, where it forced him to kind of hang up his boots early, but, you know, there's still a player in him there.
Definitely, I mean, I think a lot of the players, the current Rangers players, have said that, you know, if they've had any bounce games and he's been joining in at training, that he's, you know, he's still a fantastic player. So, I think we knew that already.
Yep. Hey, talking to Liverpool, apparently they've put a price tag of around 8 to 10 million on Ryan Kent. So a bit disappointing. I think the best we can look for is another year's loan out of him. It depends on what Liverpool want to do. He's probably worth that amount to an English team. He's certainly no worth that to us. Even, you know, 4 or 5 million, I would have been balking at, to be honest. He's certainly got potential. He's certainly got a lot of years left in him. You know, we'll see where he goes. If we can get another year's loan, fantastic. Yeah. However, could that be the reason why Jordan Jones was signed?
Yes, aye. And let's be honest, Derek. Jordan Jones, he's playing very well for Kilmarnock. He's rose through the ranks, and he's now an established international player with Northern Ireland, who are, you know, flying at the moment, playing really well. So, you know, let's look forward. Let's get him in. We still have Jamie Murphy to come back as well, who we all know is a fantastic left winger also. Yes, Ryan Kent's been a great signing for us this season, but if we don't get him on loan again, it's not all doom and gloom, Derek. We do have another two guys in there who will, you know, who I think could make a huge difference to the team.
Yeah, absolutely. So from loan players to former players, Sadiq had came out in the media just in the last couple of days, claiming he was treated shockingly, and apparently we owe him a month's wages, which I find completely laughable because he claimed he was a football player. So, you know, from what I've heard from Heart and Hand, and also on the follow and the Twitter, etc., apparently just his attitude was completely wrong. He was given more one-on-one time than any other player, and he just refused to listen and refused to carry out it. So, you know, fuck him.
Yes.
Other former player, Mo Edu, has retired from football.
All right.
So he put a touching tribute out on Instagram, which included Rangers as well, which was great.
Excellent, yeah, yep.
Yep. Obviously, with the up-and-coming Euro 2020, there has been 32 former players signed up as ambassadors, and our god, Brian Laudrup, has been named one of them as well.
Yes, fantastic, yep. No, as he's my footballing hero, Derek, and, you know, to hear that he's still getting involved in the game and still being recognised at such a high level is fantastic. He really was, as you say, our footballing god, and, no, really, really pleased for the guy.
I would still let him pump me.
Yes, I'm sure he would.
Don't he deny it, Dave? So would you.
No, it's really going back though, it's fantastic. Just even thinking, in any time that I'm looking back at classic matches and that, Derek, and seeing anything involving him, the guy was just streaks ahead of anything that had played in Scotland before, and then, you know, certainly what I'd seen, and even up till now, there's nobody that can go anywhere near him. Absolutely brilliant.
Yep. So a couple I'm just going to briefly mention here because there's legal issues about it, but Imran Ahmed, yes, remember him?
Yes, yeah.
Suing police and prosecutors for £2 million after claiming it was a wrongful prosecution. So falling on the coattails of Charles Green there. And yep. Also former administrators, Duff and Phelps guys, David Whitehouse, I think his name, or it should be renamed to David Shitehouse, allegedly, are suing the police, the Crown Office and the Lord Advocate as well. And they're challenging a ruling that gives Scotland's senior law officer immunity from damages claims. So they're alleging that the Crown knew it had no evidential basis for bringing charges against them. Now, the charges were dropped for all of them. No further action was taken. There was a dodgy thing with Imran Ahmed, how he fucked off to Pakistan, and he was effectively immune by the look of it, and we all thought he was a mole for the whole thing, and he was the one providing the information. However, as I said, allegedly, you can be arrested, you can be charged, and then the case collapses because of technicalities, as I'm going to get into in a minute. However, you can be arrested and the whole thing collapses and you're taken no further. They're obviously going on the basis of their reputation, but their reputation's in tatters anyway after dealing with us in the shoddily way that they dealt with us all. So, you know, good luck to them, but I can't see that having any legs.
Well, we'll wait and see what happens there, Derek. I'm sure it's going to rumble on.
Yep. And obviously, as I mentioned there, the 9 Celtic fans that were accused and charged of about hanging effigies a couple of years ago at Parkhead during an Old Firm game have walked free after the case collapsed due to lost evidence.
Absolutely shocking. It was the whole thing was disgusting, and it showed them in that light, Derek. It was terrible. And I'm really, really quite shocked that it's not been taken forward, especially by the, anti-suicide campaigns and things like that in Scotland as well, because it was absolutely shocking what happened that day. It really was.
It's just ultimately, when you look at it here, the Crown or somebody fucked up completely with the whole Craig White case, obviously with the administrators, Imran Ahmed, Charles Green, the whole lot of that, now this as well. I'm not saying that there's a conspiracy, however, when you look at the balance of evidence, that's two things now that have went completely tits up because somebody's fucked up somewhere.
Yeah.
Simple as. So, read into that what you will.
Yes.
So, Irish cop car wanker resuscitated after masturbating, then dying in a Berlin police car.
Go and read out the headline again there.
Irish cop car wanker resuscitated after masturbating, then dying in a police car in Berlin.
Irish cop car wanker.
Yes.
That sounds like something out the in-betweeners.
The heavily drunk 31-year-old displayed his bare buttocks to officers after they asked him to stop masturbating.
Oh my god, right.
He was picked up by the authorities after a local woman in central Berlin alerted them to the fact that the heavily drunk tourist was staggering down the street. Officers in the Jochmisthaler Strasse area, I think that's how you pronounce that, couldn't identify where the man was staying, so took him to police custody around 2 a.m. on the Monday. After bundling him into the police car, the man is thought to have fallen asleep. When he woke, he allegedly started masturbating. When told to stop, he then started displaying his bare buttocks to officers. The man later stopped breathing and had to be resuscitated by officers, as the Irish Mirror reports.
How fucking bizarre can you get?
To protect him and maintain his health, the police took him to the emergency vehicle to bring him to a place where he could sleep off his intoxication. He had to be supported on the way to the emergency vehicle. Hardly sitting in the vehicle, the 31-year-old fell asleep immediately. On the way to wherever he was going, he woke again and masturbated. At his request to stop this, he is said to have offended the forces by displaying his bare buttocks. In custody, he shouted out loud, unexpectedly threw his arms around and kicked the police, who pushed him back to his seat where he calmed down for a short time. Suddenly, and apparently, he wasn't breathing and collapsed, whereupon officers immediately provided first aid and called out a doctor.
Irish cop car wanker. On that note,
yes. I don't know where to go with that one.
Yeah, Irish cop car wanker. Yeah.
So, yes, as we've mentioned, Dave and I won't be back for a good few weeks now. It'll be after the next set of three games at least. Obviously, we don't know the games after the split, so it could be maybe four games we might need to cover.
Derek, you're not making me feel bad for keeping on repeating this all the time. I'm going on holiday and you're not, so get it right up you.
So we're looking for somebody else to fill in the position, so please get in touch with us on Twitter.
There's no way you can find anybody as professional as me, mate. Don't kid yourself.
On that note, we are now quitting the podcast and we will never be back. Yes, so if you want to check us out on all of our social media sites, you can do so on our Facebook, on our Twitter, Instagram, which is never updated anymore, and obviously our Podbean site, iTunes and Spotify. We also have our website, which you can get links to all our stuff on YouTube, all our websites as well, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com. Just a word as well to any Celtic fans listening or any other fans of any other teams, thank you very much for boosting our listener numbers. We couldn't do it without you. If you want to comment on our YouTube page like you normally do after our updates, after our post-match updates, feel free to do so. They just get deleted straight away as soon as I see them, so feel free, fill your boots.
But yeah, as you say, Derek, but thanks for boosting the listener numbers. Fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. So, we'll be back at some point over the next 4 or 5 months, maybe. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Take care, folks. If anybody's in the Bluebell Bar in Tenerife on Sunday, I'll be there. Feel free to buy me as many drinks as you want. Cheers.
Bye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.